welcome into the program. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard here in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. On an early Monday morning with you for the next 3 hours, fun show on tap. We will do plenty of baseball from the weekend, get into today's card. We'll run down the cards in the NBA, the NHL, and we'll do plenty of NFL draft talk over the next couple of weeks as we are now less than, in fact, 2 full weeks away from the draft. Next Thursday is the night. Today we'll start off with Dave Zangaro, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports in Philadelphia. They are picking at number 12. We'll ask him a bunch of questions at that pick. You know, it's funny, when you look at the draft order now, they actually traded down, and they're behind two division rivals now. Dallas picks 10, Giants number 11, Eagles come in at number 12.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a little odd. Jeff Benson from Circa Sports, where we broadcast from every single day, operations manager. This is great, Paul. I mean, they have 4 full pages of NFL draft props. I'm sure some of you noticed that on social media this weekend. It really took off on Saturday morning. Great job here by the book. We'll run down a lot of those props throughout the show today. And Jay Croucher, points book, coming up back into the program. We were told from, a couple of reports out there, at least one book, I think maybe more than that actually, their highest betting handle on a boxing match all year long was that, what do you want to call it?
I don't know. I thought Askren was a talented MMA fighter, and he shows up like a buck 90. He did a bra, the kid.
Yeah, it looks like
he could. And a front porch. I mean, I don't know what to make of it.
Remember the Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, the bear midriff?
Yes, right.
Yeah, he could have started that show.
Yeah, yeah. People loved it. People ate it up, and apparently there was good action on it.
Yeah.
I mean, you figure it out. You know, the other thing, too, we were talking to a guy who used to work in a sports book. He had an interesting, because there's not a lot going on tonight. We got 3 short cards. But in Major League Baseball, he said Mondays, a day like this on a Monday could be the one where they could get buried usually.
Yep.
Because there's only a few games if you got some big aces going and everyone goes with the run line. And next thing you know, you look, there's not a lot to bet, so everyone will just do the 4 or 5 team favorites on the run line, which more on that in a second about it's been a bloodbath betting favorites in Major League Baseball. But I thought that was an interesting point and observation about what days like this could usually be like.
And the kicker to it is, he said that on a day like this, usually, like on a Monday night, there would be some like stud going West Coast baseball to finish off the nightcap.
Yeah.
So he goes, you know, at 7:10 out here, you're going to have PM. You're going to have like a Kershaw going for the Dodgers or maybe a King Felix. And then once all those favorites come in, they would actually have to fade, the King or Kershaw. And at that point, they're like, they're laying $3 tonight. They're not going to lose the game.
Yeah. You have a lot of $1.15, $1.20s today. But if you had some favorites early on, you close with May, $1.90, and Bundy, $2.20.
Yeah.
So everything could be parlayed and rolled into those last two games.
Yep. And it is, like, you put it on the betting board, a sporting event with odds, people are going to bet on this stuff. That boxing match is a perfect example. And, you know, we were told many, many, many times, like, on a meaningless day, maybe a throwaway day, kind of like today, if you want to say that, there could be an afternoon game between 2 irrelevant teams in your mind in Major League Baseball. And the action sometimes would be completely nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll recap what took place over the weekend and run down a lot of these draft props here. Some of the moves here at Circa, huge. We'll run it down for you coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Vegas Golden Knights are a 2-20 home ice favorite against San Jose today. The Golden Knights have won 6 straight, and they're 16-4-2 at home this season. San Jose has lost 5 straight games. They're the $1.80 underdog, 5.5 over the total. Washington's Joe Ross is not allowed an earned run in 11 innings pitched this season. He's a $1.05 dog at Nationals Park against Jack Flaherty and the Cardinals, laying $1.15, 8 flat the total. Dustin May, a $2 road favorite against Justice Sheffield of the Mariners, plus 180, 8 flat at T-Mobile Park. And the NBA, the Jazz, laying 5.5 of the Lakers. Don't miss VSiN's coverage of the NFL Draft. We'll have full coverage at VSiN.com and daily best bet email updates, 24/7 video access. Plus, we'll be live all night during round one with Brent Musburger, Michael Lombardi, Gil Alexander, Mike Pritchard, and all of our VSiN football experts. Start your free trial now at VSiN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
Hey.
time to follow the money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
From the OddsTrader.com studio, Circa Resort and Casino, OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info you need. Compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses, in-game tracking tools, live in-game odds and stats, OddsTrader.com. 11-3-1 to the under yesterday in Major League Baseball. The Yankees have dropped 8 of 10. You're down 10-plus units during that stretch. They still can take you to continue to take money. Cole was like a 250 favorite and got beat. The White Sox are now 11-1-4 in the first five. Got the Patriots Day game coming up against the Red Sox. Great job by the A's to get off the mat after starting 0-6. Now they've won 8 in a row. Mm-hmm. Their game was postponed today. And then the favorites. I mean, now the Dodgers are 13-3. Favorite in every game. Two of the losses they led in the ninth inning and in the seventh inning.
Sure.
And then on opening day, Kershaw didn't have anything for whatever reason. But as David Purdom tweeted, on Friday night, favorites are 99-96 straight up to start the season. That was counting. You take out the Dodgers' hot start. 87-94, favorites without the juice.
Yeah.
They can't even win straight up.
Oh, you're getting absolutely taken out to the woodshed.
Can you believe that? You take out the Dodgers going into the weekend, MLB favorites were 87-94.
Mm-hmm.
Madness.
And this team was on pace to win more than 120 games.
Yeah.
And the run differential, as you see the tweet here from Buster Olney, on pace again to be plus 378. I mean, it's absolutely bananas. Go back regular season from last year until this year, 56-19, with a run differential of plus 175 in that span.
Yeah,
think about that. They're this close
to being 15-1.
That would be like all-star break numbers. 56-19. Hell, they would actually play a couple more games than that. So they'd be on pace to like have a run differential of like 190 probably before at the all-star break, which is I'll say this though. I think that was a big win for San Diego moving forward. It's early in the season, I get it, but if that team comes to town, and this is the definition of big brother versus little brother, and now the Padres are probably the second best team in baseball, and you're going to throw guys like Snell, and you're going to have Darvish on the bump, and if you got swept by the Dodgers, that can be, short term, that could be a little demoralizing, and then when you take them on again, a little bit later on in the season, they play 16 more times, and then potentially, hopefully, my God, those crowds in San Diego on a limited basis were unbelievable over the weekend. But that, you know, just like the confidence might not be there. And that could be a stretch, whatever. But I think that was kind of a big win for the Padres moving forward.
Yep. Dodgers first in runs, second in home runs, third in average. Yeah. Yikes. They've won the last six starts by May. He goes today against the Mariners, who are a pleasant surprise. On the flip side, Musgrove goes again. Only went four innings in his first start after the no-no. And then you have the Yankees. Which, can you believe, the Rays own them.
Yeah.
What is that? That's 18-5 the last 2 years? The Rays.
It's pure domination.
Oh. Glasnow, solid again. Cole.
I mean,
I cannot believe they're 18-5 against them going back the last 2 years and compare the payroll disparity.
I watched a lot of that game on Saturday with Glasnow on the hill, and the Yankees had their opportunities. I mean, they were forcing him to throw a ton of pitches. He had 30 in the first inning. You just knew right away there was an error, by the way. Bases were loaded, and they couldn't get anybody home against the guy. He's awesome, I get it, but they had their chances, and he was going to get yanked from the game, and the Rays bullpen this year has not been good, but the offense is kind of listless, and behind Cole, they don't have a lot to work with right now in that rotation. Could you imagine Steinbrenner right now?
Oh,
if he were alive?
Out. Freaking out.
He would be...
Heads would roll.
Absolutely. He would be talking every single day in the media about how pissed off he is.
Mm-hmm. KC, first five under, 9-1-1 run. I mentioned the incredible stat about the White Sox first five. Cardinals, their opponent has scored first eight of the last nine. Texas now, run scored in the first inning, 10-1. And the gift that keeps on giving has been the Giants, who play today at 4:00 against the Phillies. First five under is 13-2 on the season.
Wow.
13-2.
Damn.
And two flukes, right? That win game.
Yeah, with the home runs in the first inning.
Yeah, in the first game of the year.
I have a good nugget on that. Yeah. I'll give you in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
That's it. But you're right. All hell would be breaking loose. He would not be happy with what's going on if Steinbrenner was still calling.
Look at this now, running the first inning. 11-3 for the Dodgers? Well, what's the... Okay. Cardinals, 3-10-2?
I think that's the record.
That's the overall record in the first inning. Yeah, it's got to be. It has to be. Yeah, 11-3-2 for the Dodgers there in the first. They come out smoking right away. And you mentioned it. Nice job by the A's turning it around. In the East, the Red Sox now, if Giolito gets the win today for the White Sox, this is a bad slide here for Boston. Like, this division is completely winnable, right? The Yankees will no doubt get a lot better. And you said this to begin the season. Like, you don't want to play this team probably in August or September. Mm-hmm. But this division could be up for grabs. And, maybe it's the Rays again this year that do it. The Blue Jays are a little inconsistent. I still don't love their pitching. And now the Red Sox kind of, they've had a bad weekend, and it would be good for that team, obviously, to turn around today with this early game that we have coming up in only a few hours.
Can you believe what Sorka did? How about this job with all the draft props? And then the movement, too. And we talked to Jeff Benson coming up about some of these big moves, and this is great. It's here's our opinion. They took a big stance on a couple guys, saying this is what we think of Fields, this is what we think of Jones. Peter King wrote today, his gut is still telling him it's Mac Jones to San Francisco.
Okay.
They put up Mac Jones 9.5 under 260. They put up Fields 3.5 under minus 160. Now the over is minus 130. So that's good action there. And how many people actually know what they're going to do?
The 49ers.
Outside of the organization?
Because
you're right.
Paulie, I got news for you. It's going to get even more bonkers today.
That's right.
This is a promise. This is a guarantee that now we're going to we will hear steam on this today. Because this is a tweet from Dan Graziano last night. He was told the 49ers are extremely involved in the Trey Lance workout, which is scheduled for today.
So was Atlanta. Everyone will be there for Atlanta.
Of course, no doubt.
Wow.
Yep. And Graziano goes on he says, Lance, who works with quarterback coach Quincy Avery, spent the past couple of weeks working with quarterback coach John Beck. Kyle Shanahan coached Beck in Washington a decade ago and trusts his opinion. No doubt in my mind today that once, if everything goes through, has the day, Niners are there, we will hear people speculating tonight. I don't know. Maybe Lance goes third overall to the 49ers. You can throw him into the mix.
That should move big time then. Because Atlanta's going to be there too, and Atlanta could be hot and heavy for him
right at
number four.
And he's 6.5 with the total here.
Yes, under minus 155, and that also determines that prop at William Hill, which was opened 8-1 with the first four picks be quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see a lot of activity today. Based on that workout.
I like what you said, though. They took a stance here with a couple of these guys. They really did.
Uh-huh.
When they put that number up with Justin Fields, you talked about how the juice moved to 3.5. But the draft position for Mac Jones, they put it up 9.5, and it moved to 9. And you hear all these reports about Mac going 3. That's the gamble here. If he doesn't go 3, where is he going to go? I spent way too much time reading way too many mock drafts this weekend.
Uh-huh.
You can really overthink yourself in this time of year with the draft.
And what a difference a week makes. They put up Trask here, 64.5. Peter King wrote today, a week after saying Gut says he could go late first round, he's saying first round to fourth round.
Is that right?
Way to narrow it down. Yeah.
Well, do you see what his updated number is now?
How far did it move?
It went from 64.5 to 77.5.
Oh, my God.
So I'll give you one that I might regret not getting down on before it moved. Your initial thought on Kellen Mond's opening number of 98.5. Like, what are we talking about there? That's, deep into the third round at that point.
I've seen him early second. I've also seen Mills from Stanford up there, too.
He moved, by the way. Anyway, to finish off on Mond, he went from 98.5 to 91.5, and now Mills moved from 81.5 to 68.5. So you've had, and a lot of these numbers have not been touched. They haven't been moved. But you'll see some of these guys they put up. I mean, I love it because they put guys like with fourth and fifth and sixth round grades on them where they're going to go. There was a this Michigan running back, Evans, 163.5 all the way up to 180.5. You had a bunch of movement like that where guys like in the middle of rounds move like 20, 30 draft positions here at Circa. I love it. The running back from Oklahoma, they open up 70.5. He's now 90.5 here, a 20-spot move.
This is great. I have no idea what's going to happen. We're like 10 days out.
Right.
I don't know who the third pick's going to be.
No.
I don't know who the fourth pick's going to be. Will Atlanta even make the pick, or will they trade it?
Mm-hmm.
Could Miami move up there? That's...
But also, there was some movement here. Jamar Chase, LSU wide receiver, opened up 6.5. The under was minus $3, over plus 230. They've taken some money on the over because the under is now minus 250, over is plus 195. And then Sewell, the kid from Oregon, 5.5. Under was minus 125. The over is now minus 160. So bettors here are thinking that he's going to go. Because like even like the top four, right? Like what's going to happen at 3-4? But then beyond that, Paulie, how does it really fall between the, once the run on non-quarterbacks begins? Like, is it going to be, how does that like work 5, 6, 7 with Pitts, Chase, and Sewell? Like, what's the exact order right there? And I've heard 20 different things in the 5 pick where it could be any of the three. Sewell should absolutely be the favorite to the Bengals.
Yeah.
And then other people saying that Chase has to be the pick.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will say it's got to be Pitts at number 5. And then, like, if Chase goes number 5, do the Lions take, what do they do there at number 7? Are they going to go receiver? And then, again, I actually think it might not be a bad idea to bet. You can if you can get Waddle like at 2-1 to go ahead of, I don't think you can find that number anymore, but it was available at some spots, I believe. Waddle to maybe go ahead of Smith, that's a possibility.
Yeah, that's a good prop here, too. Which wide receiver will be drafted first, Group A, Group B? Chase, Smith, Waddle. Chase is $8. Seems like free money.
Mm.
Group B, Tony, Marshall, Bateman. Tony plus 120, Marshall plus 160.
Right.
Atelier's high on Tony. But that you look at that prop, how the hell is the 4.5 not going to go over at William Hill?
Right.
Minus 220. And then which running back will be drafted first? Harris is $2. Etienne and Williams. Williams is 9-1. Will the Patriots, first pick be an offensive player? Will the Dolphins' first pick be a wide receiver? Yes, minus 270. The Patriots, yes, is minus 125. But to take all these guys, and there's even guys you forget about, and that haven't been discussed, Bouchel, Book.
Mm-hmm.
Williams is 42.5. Book's draft position's 229.5. Patterson, the running back out of Buffalo. What do we have? 9 touchdowns in a game. 179.5. Tremendous job by the crew.
Yep. Love this.
Tremendous.
Another big move. This receiver from South Dakota State. They plopped up a 120.5. He's now at 147.5. 27 spots it moved. I mean, it's just, it's... I got to find out from Benson.
How many limit bets is that?
Yeah.
Yes. What are you moving on each limit bet?
Right. How do
two
you,
spots? Four spots?
Great question.
5 spots?
Mm-hmm. There was another guy. I got to try to find him. I have so much. Williams, wide receiver from Auburn, moved 24.5 mm-hmm. spots. I think there's a guy on here that moved like 30, 35 spots. It's just, look at this list.
Well, I agree with Brian Rogers' management here. Mons moved 7. I still like it under 91.
So do I.
That's like what? It's my opinion against your opinion. But how far do you still think the number's off?
Right.
Where it's moving 20, 30 draft positions.
I think and people studying this stuff, you know, bettors obviously, and for them to move that many spots, but then you look at a bunch of players and they never move. The juice hasn't moved and the draft position has stayed the same since they opened up on Saturday. Like Etienne, 34.5. He hasn't moved an inch. And he's one of many, many examples that you could throw out there that nobody's touched him so far. So they evidently made some, you know, very, very sharp numbers. And with other guys, all it takes is one team, Paul. It's all it takes where a guy's draft position might be 172, but there's a team picking late third, early fourth. It's like, we love this guy.
Yeah.
And we don't want anybody to know about it, so we're going to take him 101 overall.
I like the which team will draft Trask. They have that. Everyone's listed.
Did you notice any? Did you look at the teams? Did anything stick out to you?
No.
There might be a team with
Patriots later on.
Yeah. I want to make a bet first before I mention it on the.
Really? Air. Okay. Yeah. All right. And they put Raiders first draft selection up too. Tucker the favorite plus 575. The Trask thing. The Patriots are the favorite. A co-favorite with the Bears, both plus 650.
Yep.
Who will take Trask?
That is wild. I mean, people are kicking around if we're going to get 6 quarterbacks in the first round. Like you said, Peter King brought it up, and now his draft position goes from 64.5 to 77.5.
Yeah. Will he go ahead of Mont? Will he go ahead of Mills? That's another. That'd be another good
Actually,
prop, too.
That's a who's really
the,
good prop.
Who's the first quarterback to go in the second round?
Yep.
I think that's a good prop.
Who's the sixth quarterback overall to be selected?
Do that, too. That's better.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff here from Circa. By the way, just if you live outside here, you can always get, like, if you don't live in Nevada, you can still get, like, the Circa app. And you can just take a peek at it, obviously, if you didn't know that. But, I mean, it's fun to go and look at how many bets they put up and all these random guys. And it's pretty entertaining. And now we get it less than 2 weeks away. Can't wait. And we'll do more on the draft again a little bit later on. Benson's going to join us in about an hour and 40 minutes. We'll run all it down with him. We have a guest on from Philadelphia today. We'll find out what the Eagles are going to do at pick number 12. I think the plan here, if we get a bunch of NFL guys over the next 2 weeks, people that cover the team, like best case scenario, like if this person's on the board, who do you think they're absolutely going to take? Like who is that guy with Philadelphia on the board at number 12? Paulie will run down a lot of the action from the weekend, the line moves, bad beats, and win some, lose some. That's coming up next.
Exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the largest offer of live in-play options. BetRivers Sportsbook's the industry leader when it comes to online sports betting. And to make your experience even more rewarding, BetRivers offers the most live streams of major sports, instant payouts, and only one-time playthrough. BetRivers, your hometown book. Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Play Sugarhouse.com in Jersey. Here we go. Time for win-lose.
Rough night?
Can't call it a bad beat. Definitely lose some.
Good night? How does it make you feel?
I absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them.
Follow the Money Looks Back so we can learn for today.
Everything's an adventure.
In Win Some, Lose Some. Let the education commence.
All right, we've been doing this for about 4 years, and this is the slowest Monday win-lose I can remember. You know, not a lot happened, not a lot of bad beats. But in the doubleheader Saturday, the Mets-Rockies total was 7. Vicious push. It was 1-0 in the fifth and a 4-3 final.
Yep.
That was tough. And Cardinals Flyers, first period under a goal and a half. Flyers scored with 1 second left to make it 1-1.
I watched that entire Mets Rockies game.
Yeah.
And it just had, I bet the Mets in play at a little bit north of 3-1. It had, like, it wasn't a typical DeGrom performance, but like once he was down 3-1, I'm like, watch what's going to happen here now. He's going to come out of the game. They'll get some runs for him. He's going to get the no decision. He actually got the win, I believe, though.
Yesterday, Pelicans and under. It was 1.5 and 218. They're up 3 late. Ball, I don't know what he was doing. They're up 3 late. He leave Rose wide open. Corner 3, and it sends it to overtime where they combined for 28 points. And the Knicks win again. UFC, well, what, 8 of the 10 fights went to decision? So Romanov to win by decision, 5-1. Malkin by decision, plus 625. Outright, plus 250. That was a big upset. And Mirshard, who I know Lou talked about him, submission, plus 250 to win in round 1, 4-1. At Paulie Does Vegas on Instagram. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, these guys are having a good time. Look at a little madness on the couch. I mean, this guy's aware where the camera is, and he's playing peekaboo like you see me, huh? The other guys are in the back going at it nonstop, fighting and wrestling. And the other guy keeps poking on my head. I'm like, he keeps staring. I thought that was hilarious. That's wild. You got everything going on there. He's just playing. Hey, how you doing? And this is, look at this lab. How many can, you know, it's like Costanza with the shrimp. Let's see how many I can get in my mouth. He's got 6 tennis balls in his mouth at one time.
Wow.
Look at that. He pulled that off. Yeah, on a regular basis. From snow to a nice day to the backyard.
No, that's impressive.
That is impressive. And one lose some. Out of these birds, guys, it's not, it's like the dogs, you know, eating the cone on the side of the
ice cream.
Right.
Yeah,
and drinking the reflection from the water. These birds, That's
so good.
There we go, win, lose. Okay, now, this is very important. Always enjoy talking to Anthony Curtis. And I disagree with what he said Friday. To me, I'm only one time the tipping the person at the front desk has not worked, or they've just said no. And other people said, it always worked, and there's several articles they sent in too. No, everyone's different, but I think if you're at a high-end place, they might say, no, I'm not taking that, fine.
Sure.
But nothing's 100%, other than, to me, giving someone $20 to try to get a table. And Richard Munchkin completely disagrees with Anthony Curtis, and we got this email from Michael. I used to talk to a girl who was a dealer in Indiana. When I met her, I told her I only played roulette. She looked at me funny and then said, well, that is the only game in the casino the dealer can control. Puzzled, I said, what do you mean? She said the dealers can hit numbers. When she went to her roulette training class, a guy came in all cocky, telling the instructor, I can roll certain numbers. He hit it 3 times in a row, told everyone to sit down, class is in session. FTM at vsin.com, that's from Michael. Another one, don't get me started on tipping in Cancun. I was running a beer tub by the end of the night.
Yeah.
So there, he's saying there's a couple people saying, yeah, we can put it where we want. And Munchkin agrees.
I would say this.
I'd like to talk to him tomorrow.
I think that you can get it, again, that's why they call it like the neighbor playing kind of deal.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I think you can probably put it close to where you want to put it. But to be able to nail your number, right? I mean, I that's where I agree. You have to, so many things have to happen. And it's like the bounce of the ball where it's going to go.
I'm with you. Neighborhood. In the vicinity.
In the area.
Yes.
Yes. You can get
this
close.
Guy, yeah, this guy's saying I can hit numbers. And what happened when this guy showed up to training class all cocky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sit down. Class is in session. But I'm with you about getting the general area and what Las Vegas Chris said, too. His tweet about neighbor
yeah.
Betty.
Yeah. And to the point of, tipping at the front desk, I'm sure it works a lot. But you're right. Like, nothing's 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
There are going to be some company people that are just like, haha, no thank you, I can't take that.
Good discussion. Fun discussion.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Get to some more stuff after this weekend in baseball. It's the first time this has happened since April of 1998.
Bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now. Sign up using promo code VSIN2K. Get 2 risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and fast rewards at your fingertips. Download the app now to experience this premium book for yourself. Must be 21. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so first time since 1998, Paulie. That's where we're at right now with the New York Yankees. They are the worst team record-wise in the American League. First time since early April 1998 that's been the case. They have their record is better than one team in baseball, Colorado. That's it. That's the list. And a lot of this stuff that we're...
It's a funny game.
It is, right?
The Pirates are fighting. The Pirates are playing hard. I don't think they're going to lose 100 games. They were letting them 58 and a half in that range.
Yep.
You see the slow start the Yankees are off to. Who's in first place in the American League?
Mm-hmm.
The A's are 0-6, and they win 8 in a row. It's a great sport.
This is why it's... like so unpredictable, and you know, a lot of broadcasters will tell you that, you know, who've been around this sport forever, they're like, I see something different in baseball every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Spader had this, the ace of Spader. This is incredible. So this list right here is the individual no-hitter in modern history in which only a hit by pitch separated the pitcher from appearing on a much more upbeat list, according to Jason Stark. Guys who have thrown a perfect game. So the only thing, again, was a hit by pitch. Otherwise, perfect game. So instead, it was a no-hitter. Hooks Wiltse did it July 4th, 1908. Lou Burdett did it in 1960. I remember that Kevin Brown game in 1997, and it happened to Max Scherzer in 2015. Then if you go down the list, you have Musgrove and Rodon. And Stark points out, look at that list closely. It's happened basically only three times in the previous 120 years, and then twice in 5 days.
Yeah.
Because of Major League Baseball. And you mentioned that crazy first inning in the Reds-Giants game last week. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that made history.
Total fluke. Wind was going crazy. And again, a 13-2 underrun, first five on the season for the Giants. This was one of them.
Sure.
One over.
They had four multi-run home runs in the first inning. And as Stark points out, if you're wondering, boy, I've never seen that before, it's because you've literally never seen it ever. According to Stathead, it's the first time in any park in any year of the modern era that four multi-run homers were hit in the first inning of any game. And that's the team that it happened with. And they're on these crazy, you know, great run to the under.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing here from Stark. Last Wednesday night, the Padres, we talked about this game on Thursday. The Padres walked 13 times. That's a franchise record for a nine-inning game. They also drew a walk in each of the first eight innings. He points out that's really hard to do. They had three more hitters reach base after getting drilled by Pirates pitchers. And they lost! They lost the game.
How can that be?
And so, no team won a game while issuing as many walks and as many hit-by-pitches as Pirates in the last 73 years. The last team to do it, the 1948 St. Louis Browns. Just wild.
Yeah.
And then you look at some of these.
Well, the other story's been the pathetic batting averages and all the strikeouts.
Oh, my God.
Again, this is the sport. Glasnow, Bieber, DeGrom, Burns. Look at the strikeouts. Look at the batting average. I mean, I'm looking at the notes today. The Giants are hitting 200. You know how bad the Cubs' batting average has been. We got one tweet that Marquis put the slugging up one day instead of the batting average. Yeah, I mean, you look at these teams' batting average and all the strikeouts. It's nuts.
Lowest, and again, like since 1896 or something like that. Six starting pitchers right now have a sub-1 ERA. DeGrom, Musgrove, goes tonight. Burns, Glasnow, Stroman, and Lynn. Stroman's been a great story for the Mets. And your strikeout leaders right now, DeGrom has 35, Glasnow 36, Bauer 36, Cole 39, and Bieber has 48. He did it again with 13 yesterday. He's the first pitcher in big league history to begin the season with four straight starts with at least 10 strikeouts. Since the mound was moved to its current distance back in 1893. And by the way, his 48 strikeouts now matches Nolan Ryan for the most through four starts of a season. And Bieber has fanned at least 8 and 16 straight starts, one short of Randy Johnson's major league mark. And so he's plus 350 now at William Hill to lead the league in strikeouts. He stays healthy. One more on Acuna, who left the game early last night for the Braves. I bet him over the weekend a couple of times to win the MVP. He leads all of Major League Baseball in hits, runs, home runs, OPS. He's second in average, second in doubles, and second in RBIs. You could get a price. He might put together, this could be like a Mike Trout kind of year. And Acuna's done this before, right? But you could get Acuna over the weekend at numbers that Mike Trout hasn't been in probably like 8 or 10 years to win the MVP.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can you guys put up 506 again, the Buster only? Because I'll ask you what happened again yesterday. So, okay. In the regular season, the last 2 years, they're 56-19. The run differential is plus 175. Over the course of a full season, that's 120 wins with a 378 run differential. But as we mentioned when Jansen blew it the first time, the thing that separates this team from like the great team with the Yankees and 90 is Jansen. They could win 116 games, but once you get to October, 13-3, but two of the losses they led in the seventh and the ninth.
By the way, guess what happened on Friday night? They bring in Jansen.
Jansen blew another
6-5, and their offense had to carry him in the extra innings. That was a great crowd at Petco all week.
Mm-hmm. That could be the thing that gets them, though. Bueller's awesome, Bauer's awesome, but they only go six.
Sure.
Or the other guy's right there, and it's 3-3 in the seventh, and then what do you do?
Yep.
And you put out this motley crew, and they.
Yeah. By the way, notice too, great games. Great teams. This rivalry kind of looks like maybe Yankees-Red Sox, West Coast, you know? The difference? Those Yankees-Red Sox games for years would be like four and a half hour games.
Mm-hmm.
Just excruciating. And a regular season game that goes nine innings every single time, it's like four and a half hours. These games, you're kind of in and out. tough. I had to go somewhere and watch the game on Saturday night. I have the package. I have a bunch of other services that I get.
Yeah.
Nowhere to be found here in Las Vegas. You know, so just like plan accordingly. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go get a bite to eat and have a beer because I want to watch a Dodgers game and I can't get it at my house. It's rough. But man, that did not feel like April baseball. That was really, really cool. Today's card's loaded. We have a game coming up in not too long from now. Obviously, Giolito is scheduled to go against Eovaldi.
Good game.
Very good game. Both guys have been awesome. I mean, Giolito's last time out was in that duel with Bieber.
How about the under run? 11-3-1.
Yeah.
Ton of unders.
Yep.
Which, again, makes sense. No one's putting a ball in play. Mourinho just got fired. Tottenham whacked him.
Nigel Seeley, nobody's happy with the Super League either, by the way.
No.
There isn't a single person I've seen that says this is a good idea. We have a big one tonight in the NHL and the gift that keeps on giving. Join the action on DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Download the app. Use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. You can beat for cash prizes every week. Don't wait. Sign up now. And new customers get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, that's 1-800-9-WITH-IT. You must be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Tonight's card in the NHL. Big one, Paulie, as we get the Hurricanes taking on the Lightning. This is in Tampa Bay, and they have split 6 meetings so far on the year. They're separated by 2 points right now in the standings. Florida, I mean, is just an incredible story. They continue to linger. And the under is also on a 3-0 run for the Hurricanes overall tonight. The opening number here at Circa was Lightning at home minus 119. Maybe bumped up a little bit, and the total is 5.5.
Yep. 62 points for Carolina. 61 for Florida, 60 for Tampa. Carolina's played 43, Florida's played 45, Tampa's played 44. What a race in some of these divisions.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope you grab 12-1 on the Bruins. But boy, things change in a hurry. They are right back in that now in the East.
Well,
I know Buffalo just beat Pittsburgh, but here comes some game. Boston is now 6 points behind Washington for first place. They have 3 games in hand. And here comes Buffalo and a bunch of New Jerseys for the Sabres.
Yep, right.
Excuse me, for the Bruins.
And what a weird loss yesterday by the Penguins. But again, this is like now the second or third time we've said this, where teams might be, I don't know, with Buffalo. By the way, Buffalo's 12-1 last 13 plus a goal and a half.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And you can get good numbers there because they're catching like, you know, they're like the $3 underdog every single game.
Yep, 7 more against Buffalo and New Jersey. For the Bruins and 3 games in hand.
So I did bet the Bruins to win that division based on.
What'd you get?
I think I got 8.
Yeah.
I bet him twice. I think I got him 12, 1 small, and a bigger bet on 8. So, because I don't think the Penguins are going to pull it off. And that's the other team that I bet in that division. Columbus takes on Florida tonight. Then the other team, Florida, open up 220, total of 5.5. And as you talked about, Panthers here trail the Hurricanes by 1 point.
Columbus is reeling. Lost 5 in a row. They're on a 5-0-1 overrun as well.
Yep.
This is they're leaking oil here.
And Florida, they've won 5 of 6 so far in the series, on the season. Montreal plays at Edmonton. Did you see this now? The under is 8-0 now for the Oilers. They beat the Jets 3-0 on Saturday.
That? I know.
8-0 run here for the Oilers now.
And 6 in a row, no goal in the first 10, and 6 in a row, first period unders. From Chris Otto at PSU Otto on Twitter. Great job updating the hockey.
Well,
isn't that something?
The gift
of all teams.
The gift that keeps on giving is the Golden Knights in the first 10.
Yeah, 13-2 now.
Yeah.
13-2 run goal in the first 10. Third period overs, 12 in a row for Ottawa. First period overs, 7 in a row for Washington. 6 straight unders for Edmonton and 5 straight unders for Vancouver. goal in the first 10. You mentioned VGK 13-2. Devils 9 in a row, Toronto 6 in a row. What was that? How do you lose that game if you're the Maple Leafs? You're taking on a team that's been off for all this time and the variants hitting them and the COVID, and they have 8-9 guys out, and you lose that game? Number one, this should have been the rust factor alone. You score 2 goals and you lose? At least you got a point out of it. But come on. You cannot lose that game if you're Toronto.
Did you see when it was tied late at 2 apiece? Oh. The high danger chances were 18-2 in favor of Toronto.
Oh.
And it was 2-2. I mean, it's like baseball, right?
Goldby, yeah.
You could have at soccer games, right? Sometimes you look at the overall stats of a soccer game, you're like, wait a second here. This is utter domination, and yet we're tied at 1 apiece. How is that possible?
Was it that high, guys? I missed that. They were a $4 favorite? Oh, the other thing.
They were. I know that at one point the Canucks before the game were at least plus 325.
Wow.
I was looking at
Right, on the road, right. That. Oh, my God. I thought this. I thought we could see this, but not right off the bat. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, what's this going to be like where you have to play, what is it? It was 19 games in 32 days, whatever it's going to be. And
sure.
And you're going to have 8-9 guys out and guys are sick and still dealing with some stuff and all the and the rust factor and they win. And they win.
They win. Yep.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, maybe this thing, it's been a thing now for a good, at least handful of weeks. I think the Buffalo thing might be real going down the stretch.
Hanging in there,
In terms of being competitive, hanging in, and not completely caving on the season.
I got to see what happens with their goalie situation, but that's
yeah. And I did see the Golden Knights. There's no number here at Circa, but I did see the Golden Knights were like a 220 last night, I believe, on the opener. They've owned the series so far.
DraftKings is 240. Right,
okay,
right. They have crushed them. They've won 6 in a row. They're on a 5-0 run against the Sharks. They have dominated this matchup. And going back, where'd I put it? 38-16 at home last 54 for VGK. Tough at home.
Yep.
And now you got Colorado on pause now. So now that division bets, are they going to come back rusty now with time off and 3 games were pushed back?
So I understand completely if people don't like to hedge a lot. Like, I get it. I like to lock in I like to set myself up to make money in a lot of cases. So I will buy back on certain teams to win divisions. Like, we put ourselves in a great spot with the Phoenix Suns a couple of months ago. We'll get into that coming up in a second here.
Yeah, nice effort.
But with the, I'm sitting there staring at, and I knew about the situation with the Avalanche, obviously. And I'm looking at the Golden Knights because I have the Avalanche at plus 250 to win that division. And I could get plus 240, plus 250 over the weekend with the Golden Knights. And I'm like, nah, I didn't take my chance. I never tried to lock in a profit. But with the Phoenix Suns, having them at 16-1, they're getting run out of the gym on Saturday night. And I finally told myself, I can't deal with the anxiety anymore of this stupid team and their dumb losses to teams that they should be beating by 15 points. Mm-hmm. So I found that when they were getting destroyed on Saturday night, I shopped around. I found the Clippers at plus 110. I said, I'm not there. I'm just going to lock in a profit.
Good for you.
I'm locking in. I'm not going to deal with it anymore long. I'm not going to get cute because the road trip starts tonight.
Explain that game.
Oh, my God.
Housed by 30 at home to San Antonio?
But that's...
Were they laying 12?
Yeah. But that's exactly... I think you said that about the team on Friday.
They're bad. They play down to the competition.
Absolutely.
They struggled twice with Houston. They lost to the Timberwolves at home. They lost to the Spurs at home.
I couldn't believe I actually found plus money again during the game. I thought the books had actually pulled the bets off the board, futures.
Well, the other thing, we had a winner Friday, too. I mean, and then it happened again. How about OKC? Not only have they lost 10 in a row, they're 1-9 ATS. They hung in there, but had a big lead, but then Toronto won and covered.
Well, they're up big last night.
Yeah,
OKC.
Misleading. Detroit's up 10 late in the game, and then there was, I don't know, they turned the ball over. They won by 6, whatever. But
right.
That's... But this OKC outfit, oh my God.
Well,
and it does start tonight. You have to check the status of what Milwaukee's doing. They only opened 3 at home.
Mm-hmm.
But so you lose that game to San Antonio, 111-85, at Milwaukee, at Philly, at Boston, which is a back-to-back, at Brooklyn, at the Knicks, Clippers, Utah. That's the rest of the month.
Watch. Knowing this team, they're going to go 5-2 in the stretch.
Now, the last month is easy. I don't know if they can survive this.
Yeah,
Meanwhile, it's not difficult. And the other thing, the NBA's, everything's worked out here for the NBA. But full disclosure, we got to burn time. We have stuff to take, and with NBA finals and pushback, and then when you get preseason football, we're taking vacation coming up. Well, I thought we were going to take vacation. We were going to come back, walk in into the final week or the playoffs of the NHL season. I don't know what's going to happen now. How far back are they going to push this thing?
Right.
And are they going to start? Are they going to probably go playoffs early in the United States and wait till Vancouver and everyone has to finish up in the North?
It seems so odd to me.
And how long is it going to go? Yeah. Nobody's safe.
No.
Colorado gets it. Vancouver's been bad.
All right.
One more incident with Vancouver, then I would just say you have to shut it down.
I just say that's out.
That's it for Vancouver. That's enough.
For a team that is, first of all, not a good team this year, should they really be concerned about, you know, going above and beyond to try to squeeze in their full allotment of games or as many games as possible in the regular season? Like, what's the point?
So if that game
was going to affect everybody else.
So if that game wasn't Toronto, would have been $5?
Oh.
$5.50?
Well, is that what it's home ice worth?
Is that what it would have been? I mean, that's... And what if you get a scenario where the team needs it late in the year? What if it comes down to a final two games where team A has to win to make the playoffs and you're playing them? I mean, they've been... How do you lose that game? I know, the high danger chances and what Holtby did, but you just can't... With the rust factor alone. That's why we love sports.
Yep.
And they are looking at Wednesday, May 19th as their final game against Calgary to fit all these in for Vancouver. Oh, God.
Yep. Another thing, too. Back to the NBA here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now Durant goes down.
Yeah.
He gets injured yesterday. And they were defeated by Bam Adebayo shot at the buzzer. And the Heat win that game. And you've been saying this for a long time. I totally agree. Like, first of all, they've had so many injuries now that they can't actually put their guys up on the court at the same time. But all of a sudden in the playoffs, are we just going to expect them to be completely healthy and then to have like a great chemistry and then Aldridge retires?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot going on here with the Nets. And I don't think they're going to win that division.
What were the odds Miami was going to be in the play-in game? With still a lot of time left. But Miami's in one of the play-in games.
Yep.
I mean, there's not much time left. And there was 3 weeks left in the season.
Sure.
Chicago would play Miami and Toronto would play Indiana. Good job by the Raptors fighting here down the stretch. How about the Dallas loss? How do you explain that? Why are they so bad at home?
Ugh.
Another bad loss. The Kings have been terrible.
I think the Kings had lost 7 straight games.
And they housed Dallas.
Sure.
So Memphis, Dallas would be the 7-8, and San Antonio, Golden State would be the 9-10.
Yep.
What a job by Pop again. Every year, it doesn't matter. All right, here's San Antonio.
And the Knicks are the 6th seed. Paul, they've won 6 straight, and when they had their 5th consecutive win over the weekend... That's the first time since 2014
I saw that. I couldn't believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so,
that's hilarious.
And I tweeted out over the... I'm like, okay, yeah, tell me again how Tibbs is not the coach of the year. I'd say this. How many coaches could do what he's doing this year with the Knicks? He might be the only guy. How many coaches could actually do what Doc Rivers is doing in Philadelphia? I would tell you quite a few.
I would agree.
Because their roster is awesome, and the previous guy was not good. And so, like, people that say that Doc's ahead of him because of the record, throw the record out!
No one expected this. It goes back to look at win totals and preseason expectations.
Yes, exactly right. And Quinn Snyder, Jazz, amazing story. Yeah. Look at how many injuries are in the West as well. Maybe Monty Williams is the guy for Phoenix. I could not say a bad word about him. He's done an amazing job. But Tibbs has to be the guy for Coach of the Year. We'll get into some Peter King nuggets in the NFL. He says this is doomed. Details next.